Please turn with me in your Bibles now to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Today we will continue our study of Revelation by looking once again at chapter 12. I want to read the whole of chapter 12 again, and actually I want to read the first three verses of chapter 13 too. So Revelation chapter 12, and we will begin reading in verse 1. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. O heavenly King, O Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who is in all places and fills all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and dwell in us and cleanse us from every stain and save our souls, O gracious Lord, we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Revelation 12 and beginning in verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. This is the word of God. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the 3 main characters in this chapter: the woman, the dragon, and the woman's child. The woman gives birth to a male child who is destined to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And according to Psalm 2, where that language comes from, the one who does that is the Messiah, Christ. And so we can easily identify the male child as Christ. And the identity of the dragon is revealed in verse 9. The dragon is the ancient serpent who deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. And the dragon is, in fact, the deceiver of the whole world, verse 9. And he is called the devil, which means slanderer, and Satan, which means adversary. Satan is the adversary. He is the archenemy of God and the enemy of our race. And he is the accuser of mankind in the heavenly court, the divine council, the sons of God who present themselves before the throne of God. For example, Job chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." And so Satan was present among the angels, the sons of God, in the heavenly court, the divine council. And Satan would appear in the heavenly court as the accuser of mankind. Now, an example of that is given in the book of Zechariah in chapter 3. When Joshua the high priest stood before the angel of the Lord, Satan was standing beside Joshua to accuse him. But the Lord rebuked Satan and justified Joshua. He took away Joshua's iniquity. He removed his filthy garments and clothed him with pure vestments. Now, the role of Satan as the accuser is clear in that vision in Zechariah chapter 3. And that's why Satan is called the accuser of our brothers here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Now, Satan appears in this vision as a great red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns, and on his heads, 7 diadems. That's verse 3. The heads symbolize rulers, the horns power, and the diadems kingship. Chapter 17 of Revelation tells us that the 7 heads are 7 mountains and also 7 kings. The 7 mountains are the 7 hills of Rome, and the 7 kings are 7 emperors of Rome, as we are going to see when we get there. In a few weeks, when we get to chapter 13 of Revelation, we will see that the offspring of the dragon, or the seed of the serpent, the beast that has 7 heads and 10 horns because it bears the image of the dragon, is embodied in the Roman Empire and in its head, especially Nero Caesar, whose number is 666, the mark of the beast. But we are getting ahead of ourselves. We need to back up. We're not quite there yet. We need to back up and look at chapter 12, where Satan appears. He appears in heaven as a seven-headed dragon with 7 diadems on his heads. Now, Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world in the Gospel of John. He uses that title for Satan in John's Gospel on two different occasions. And Paul called Satan the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2. And that is how Satan appears here. He appears as the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world. And another thing you'll notice in this chapter is that the dragon, the seven-headed serpent, is associated with water. Now, you see that in verse 15. It says in verse 15, "The serpent poured water, like a river, out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth." And again in verse 17, another association of the dragon with the water. The dragon stood on the sand of the sea, and he summons the beast, which is his offspring, to rise from the sea. And so the dragon is associated with water. And that association goes way back in the Old Testament and into ancient Near Eastern mythology. The seven-headed sea serpent is called in the Old Testament and in the ancient Near East, Leviathan. The seven-headed sea serpent is Leviathan. When you are reading the scriptures and you see references to Leviathan, and you'll find that in several different places in the Old Testament, those references are referring to the dragon that is depicted here in Revelation chapter 12. And in the Old Testament, the nation of Egypt and the nation of Babylon, both of which at different times were enemies of Israel, are metaphorically or symbolically called Leviathan. They are called Leviathan because in the invisible realm, behind the king of Egypt and behind the king of Babylon, was Satan, the arch enemy of God. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of this from the Old Testament. In Ezekiel 29, verse 2, the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel, "Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his streams." So Pharaoh is the dragon of the sea. And that's why the psalmist says that when God destroyed Pharaoh in the Red Sea, he crushed the heads of Leviathan. You see that in Psalm 74, for example, Psalm 74, verse 12. "Yet God, my king, is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your might." That's the Red Sea. "You broke the heads of the sea monsters on the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness." So at the crossing of the Red Sea, God crushed the heads of Leviathan. Leviathan is that seven-headed sea monster. In other words, to put it literally, not symbolically, but literally, Pharaoh and his army were defeated. And again, behind Pharaoh was Satan. And so Satan was defeated at the Red Sea. God crushed his head. Now, likewise, the king of Babylon is called Leviathan. And you see this one place, you see this is in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. "In that day, the Lord with his hand and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea." Now here in Isaiah 27, Leviathan refers to Babylon. And this prophecy is especially important for the book of Revelation because it stands behind the connection in the book of Revelation between Leviathan, the seven-headed dragon, and Babylon, which is the wicked city of man that is destroyed at the end of the world. And it's interesting that Babylon is symbolically depicted as a woman. And that woman is seen riding the beast, which is the offspring of the dragon. Now, if you look over at Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, this is where you see this image. Revelation 17, verse 1. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk.' And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and 10 horns." Now, you see, that's the dragon. That's the Leviathan in chapter 12 of Revelation, and also the offspring of the dragon, the beast, in chapter 13, verse 4. "The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations." So there's the connection between Leviathan and Babylon. Now, it's interesting that the first time the dragon appears in the book of Revelation, he is standing before a woman, and that woman is a pure virgin. It's the pure virgin mother of the Messiah, the daughter of Zion, who is the mother of all believers. And the second time that the dragon appears in the book of Revelation, he is associated with another woman, the great prostitute of Revelation 17, who is the mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. So the two women are set in contrast to each other. The two women in the book of Revelation are set in contrast to each other. The first woman is the virgin daughter of Zion, the mother of our Lord and our mother. The second woman is the daughter of Babylon. She's the mother of all who worship the beast. In other words, the two women represent the children of God and the children of the devil. That's an easy way of summarizing it. The two women in Revelation, the one in chapter 12, the other in chapter 17, represent the children of God and the children of the devil. Or to use the language of the book of Revelation, they represent Zion and Babylon. Zion and Babylon. Now, the book of Revelation is a book of counterfeits. There is the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And then there is the false God, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, the counterfeit Trinity. And likewise, there is the true church, the virgin daughter of Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the woman in Revelation 12. And then there is the counterfeit church, the prostitute, Babylon the Great. That's the woman of Revelation 17. Now, the woman in Revelation 12 is the queen of heaven. She is the bride of Yahweh. She's the daughter of Israel, in whom the promise concerning the very first woman, Eve, is fulfilled. God said to the serpent, the dragon, that the offspring of the woman, Eve, would bruise his head. Now, that promise is sometimes called the mother promise because it is the very first promise in Scripture of redemption. Now, Revelation 12 tells us that that promise, the mother promise, has been fulfilled through the offspring of this new Eve, the mother of the Messiah and the mother of all living, spiritually speaking, believers. When her offspring defeats the serpent, Satan is cast out of heaven. Now, that's the point in verse 7. Look down again at verse 7. This is Revelation 12, verse 7. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. The dragon was defeated, and there was no longer any place found for them in heaven. That is, the dragon and his angels, no longer any place found for them in heaven. Now, here it looks like that Michael, the archangel, is the one who defeats the dragon. It looks like Michael's the one who conquers him. But that's not the case. Michael is not the one who conquers. It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who conquers, the root of David. It is the Lamb of God. He's the one who conquers. Now, remember, as we saw back in chapter 5, and I know it seems like ages ago that we've been in chapter 5, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was found worthy to open the scroll that was in the right hand of God except for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And he was found worthy to open the scroll because of what? He conquered. He conquered. Weep no more, the angel said to the prophet John, the author of the Apocalypse. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. And he is worthy to open the scroll. So Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lamb who conquered, and he's the one who's able to open the scroll. He's the one who conquers the dragon. Michael doesn't defeat the dragon. Christ does. Now, what then are we to make of verse 7? Look at verse 7 again. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And since there's no longer any place for them in heaven, they were thrown down to the earth. Verse 9. Now, if Michael does not defeat the dragon, what are we to make of this? Well, verse 10 gives us the answer. It provides the interpretation of the vision, which is recorded in verses 7 through 9. John sees a vision of Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon and his angels. John sees the vision in verses 7 through 9, but then John hears the interpretation of the vision in verse 10. In verse 10, John says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven." Now, remember, in the book of Revelation, there is a contrast between what John sees and what John hears. John sees something and then he hears something that gives the interpretation of what he sees. Now, what John hears gives the hidden meaning. It gives the inner meaning of what he sees. Now, here's an example of that. We saw it very clearly back in Revelation chapter 5. John heard, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered." But what he sees is the Lamb standing as though it had been slain. So the hidden inner meaning of the Lamb that is slain is that this is the Lion who has conquered, right? So there's a contrast between what is seen and what is heard. Here in chapter 12, what John sees is war in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon and his angels, they're fighting back. The dragon is defeated, no longer any place for them in heaven. So the dragon and his angels are thrown down to the earth. That's what he sees. But here's what he hears in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So what John sees is Michael and his angels fighting and defeating the dragon and his angels. But what he hears, which is the inner meaning of this vision, is that Christ is the one who has conquered. Christ is the one who has defeated the dragon. And by defeating the dragon, Christ has established the kingdom of God. Again, verse 10. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. By conquering Satan, Christ has brought salvation and has inaugurated the kingdom of God. Now, when did that happen? When did Christ defeat Satan? Well, we've already seen it. We've seen it since chapter 1 of Revelation. Christ defeated Satan on the cross. It was on the cross that he bruised the head of the serpent. And by the way, when the offspring of the serpent appears in Revelation chapter 13, his head appears as if it had a mortal wound. Why? Because Christ has bruised the head of the serpent. When did he do that? On the cross. Through death, he destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. That's what the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 2. So this vision, and here's what I want you to see. This vision in Revelation 12 tells us what was going on in heaven at the moment when Christ was dying on the cross. Revelation 12 pulls back the veil so that we can see what was going on in the unseen realm, in the invisible realm of heaven, at the very moment that Christ was hanging on the cross, dying on the cross. Here's what was going on. Michael and his angels were fighting a war against the dragon and his angels in heaven. That was happening while Jesus was being crucified. And at the moment of his death on the cross, Satan was defeated. Satan was conquered. Christ decisively, once and for all, bruised the head of that serpent. Satan was defeated by Christ on the cross. And because Satan and his angels were defeated, they were cast out of heaven. That's what Revelation 12 is telling us. Revelation 12 shows us what happened in the unseen realm at the moment Christ died on the cross. The war was won, and Satan and his angels were cast out at the moment that Christ conquered him on the cross. Revelation 12 isn't telling us about something that happened at the beginning of the world when Satan fell, nor is it telling us something that's going to happen at the end of the world. Revelation 12 tells us what happened at the moment that Christ died on the cross. Satan was defeated at that moment. And there was no longer any place found for him or his angels in heaven, and therefore they were cast out. They were thrown down to the earth. Now, Jesus tells us that this is what's going to happen in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 31. Before Christ went to the cross, here's what he said. This is John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Satan is the ruler of this world in that verse. Now, Jesus says, he will be cast out. And it is through his death that he defeats him, he conquers him. And it is because of his death that he is cast out. So the war that Michael and his angels were fighting in heaven, that was the mop-up job, so to speak, of the battle that Christ won on the cross. Christ is the conqueror. He's the only conqueror. He's the one who defeats Satan and crushes his head. Now, Satan is cast out because Christ wins this decisive victory. But Satan is thrown down to the earth and he's still active. He's still very active in the book of Revelation and he's still very active today. And what we're seeing in Revelation 12 is that his hostility, his anger, his hatred, the enmity that was directed toward the offspring of the woman, Christ, is also directed toward the woman and the rest of her offspring. And he goes after her. He goes after them and begins to pursue them and persecute them. And he continues to do that all throughout the tribulation. He continues to do that down to our day. Satan continues to persecute the church. But he is a defeated foe. Christ has already won the decisive victory over Satan. He has been silenced. The accuser of our brothers has been silenced. No longer any place for him in heaven. Why? Because Christ has delivered us from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How can he accuse us? How can he accuse us? What accusation against us can stand? It is Christ who died, more than that, who has been raised from the dead, who intercedes for us in heaven. Now, Revelation 12, again, is, like I said last Sunday, is the key to understanding the book of Revelation. We still have more work to do in Revelation 12, and God helping us, when we come back to this in a few weeks, we will return to this chapter and look at it once again and see what more it teaches us about the nature of the victory of Christ, the reign of Christ, and the nature of the church's victory over Satan. It is by dying that the church also conquers Satan. We participate in the victory of Christ by being crucified together with Christ. His death, his martyrdom, is reproduced in his followers, and therefore his victory, which he gained by his own death, is also reproduced in his followers. All of that is right here in Revelation chapter 12, as God helping us, we're going to see.